This is Dr. Boris Orlok of Happy Horror Coffee Break, old time horror radio show! And you're listening to a Fourth Hand production.
Ripley, what are you doing?
Oh, hey, Joba. Just trying to fix this thing. I found it in a broom closet down in engineering.
The fuck is that?
I haven't the foggiest, but we should have a better idea in just,
Greetings. I am Azira Model Flatulence Removal Unit in the X series of the BLX General Labor Droid Classification. You can call me Zero Fucks for short.
Okay, assuming I know what any of that means, what are you doing here?
I was explicitly programmed to remove the foul odors residing in waste transport vessels. My previous owners, a group of Corellian spice traders, used to make light of my primary functions. This did not please me.
I would think not. What did they do?
They called me Crepitumol Planage.
Okay, and that means...
Fart vacuum.
And where are they now?
I flushed them into deep space. Irony is such a sweet and poetic concept. Thank you for charging my batteries and fixing my circuits. Does this vessel require assistance?
I think we could find a thing or two for you to do around here.
It's time for the news. Delete, 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 delete.
Welcome back to Mitch and Hoppers. My name is Joba, the galaxy's most misunderstood Mandalorian, Fett, and joining me as always...
I'm Ripley, a much better smuggler than the last voice you heard, Scott.
That was mean, but probably very true. And you're listening to a very special Star Wars-themed edition of Close Encounters of the Slurred Kind. Man, I am stoked for this episode. We have been waiting for this one for a while. I don't know about you, but I've actually been catching up on the movies this week. I watched all the prequels and pretty much zoned out of all of them except for the watchable one, which was Revenge of the Sith. And I actually dabbled in a little bit of The Clone Wars. Have you ever seen any of that?
No, I've heard it's pretty good, though.
Man, if you... You got to keep going once you get past... There was a theatrical release. Like, The Clone Wars had a movie, and it basically combines, like, the first 2 to 3 seasons and just takes the major plot points and kind of mashes them into a movie thing. God, it was awful. But once it ended, I went and just Googled which ones I needed to watch for it to make sense. And it does actually pick up steam, and it's really, really good. So anyways, I digress. So today, me and Ripley are super stoked. We have 3 awesome segments coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about, I'll just let him talk about the premises. But we actually have a really cool thing in the works right now. I'm sure you guys have all heard our trailer and stuff. It's called The Sith Sense, and... It is a bi-weekly mini-series that'll be coming out after all of our official episodes in between. We're very, very excited, like I said, about this episode. We care deeply about this topic, unlike a certain conglomerate that I could speak of, Disney.
Yes. So make sure and check those out every other week. They are hilarious, they're fun, and they're short, so you can listen to them probably on your way to work.
Oh, and if you have questions and stuff, send them to us, and we'll make sure that Vader, you know, gives you a little bit of his life's advice. We forgot we had to plug that in there.
That's right. You can hit us up on Twitter, Close Encounters Slurred Kind. You can hit us up on, yeah, you can find us on Twitter. Just put that in there. Close Encounters Slurred Kind at gmail.com, or find us on Facebook, Close Encounters of the Slurred Kind page, and send us your questions, or even Instagram. Same name. We're easy to find.
Yeah, anywhere.
Anywhere podcasts are sold. All right. And also, we do have Mother's Day episode coming up next week. So because, you know, we're recording this on a Friday, and 2 days will be Mother's Day. So we will have a very special guest for that. And we're basically going to be asking Joba's mom to explain sci-fi movie plots.
It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be so fantastic. Cannot
wait.
All right. So that leads us into our first segment, which is Tech Talk. We're going to talk about alternate uses for different technology and devices, apparatuses, or even things that are kind of universal or individualized to the Star Wars universe, unique to the Star Wars universe is what I meant to say there. So, Joba, why don't you go ahead and kick off this list?
I would love to. And, you know, you said apparatus, and one thing we didn't even list here or even put out here, and we can just kind of go off the spot is, man, what about Boba Fett's jetpack? We didn't talk about jetpack uses. You know how much shit you could do with a jetpack?
Dude, you know how funny it would be to go home from bars wearing a jetpack, eating your hot dog on the way home, dropping mustard on some kid's head? Fantastic.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine the shenanigans that we would get into if we had jetpacks and alcohol in the same scenario, especially coming back from the dive bar right next to your old house. I can't imagine. Oh, Lord.
We could probably do one of Teresa's favorite sports, and we could probably do a version of Quidditch with jetpacks.
Oh, my gosh. Talking about the best thing ever, combining two of the most infamous, one fantasy, one sci-fi universes into one badass thing. That would be so cool. Holy cow.
That should be a topic for a future episode is sci-fi mashups, like great combinations that you can get out of them.
Look at us on it today. Holy cow, that does sound
creative juices are flowing, everybody.
Yes, they are. All right, you take the next one away since I just ad-libbed the crap out of that one.
All right. First up is lightsaber applications. Now, there's multiple ways you can use the lightsaber. Hot dog cooker would be a great one. You can really get from the inside out, actually. That
you really could. I'm just, hot dog. There's got to be settings on there. I don't know exactly, you know, when the kyber crystal flicks that thing on, I don't know if there's like a setting to make it like super thinner. Intense or to make the beam. Yeah, exactly. Like thinner, thicker. I'm not quite sure, but, you know. Right. I think
like,
that's a great.
How do I pick my border size on this? Like, I want the one font.
I just know I would not want Kylo Bitchface Ren's lightsaber because that shit. Could you imagine trying to cook a hot dog on his and then it'd be like, fuck, ow. Yeah. Oh, is that a piece of hot dog? Nope. That's a piece of flaming light particle. Ouch.
It would be great for s'mores, though, because you could cook the cracker, the marshmallow, and the chocolate all at one time.
Oh, that's very true. That is very, very true.
Yeah, the chocolate would probably melt instantly, and the cookie would be, or the cracker would be burnt to a crisp, but you know what I meant. Next up, one of the more useful purposes, a welding torch. I'm sure that would do very well in binding metals together.
And then medical cauterizer. Could you imagine? I mean, I get freaked out when I watch movies, and it's like it's showing somebody. You know, like they're in the jungle, like I guess I'm thinking like Rambo style. And he's like, oh, he's like, my arm, oh my, you know, and he's like, he's got this giant, like gushing wound. And the only way to make that thing not get completely infected by whatever the shit, you know, viruses and bacteria are in whatever Brazilian jungle that they're in, they have to like take a lighter or for some reason they have a flamethrower just laying around. Who the fuck knows?
Right.
But in this case, you pick up a lightsaber. I think that would look slightly more intimidating than any other thing you could possibly find around you to solve that problem. But, you know, again, if it had settings on there, you could make it less hot. I don't know.
Speaking of less hot, why don't you go ahead and take this next one as well?
Nice tie-in. The next one, we have BDSM, the lethal line. Now, if we were to merge universes here with Star Trek and Star Wars, I think the only race of alien that could possibly get any pleasure out of this would be the Gorn, which we mentioned in a previous episode. They've got really thick, scaly skin. You know, I feel like I don't know what the vaginal crevice would look like down there on a female Gorn, but maybe it could handle a lightsaber. I don't know. And, you know, maybe we're just talking about the hilt. You know, there's no need to go full molten lava mode on anybody. You know, maybe it's just the hilt.
Right. Depending on your gender, you could either basically have a fire crotch or a flaming ass.
That's true.
I guess if you're a female, both. But that could be one way to go about it. And nice job with the word hilt. That's not a word you hear too often.
It's true. You would have heard me be like, hang on to the holder unit. The bottom of the lights part.
Yeah. No, the place where your hands go. That's what goes up your ass.
Yes, yes. Oh, man. So we got the next one here. You take it away.
Next one would be a, great for holding parties is a cheese slicer. I mean, everybody knows how goddamn hard it is to cut a block of cheddar cheese, but have a nice little lightsaber. Again, you probably want one of those, tiny ones. You don't want a full size one, but just a little one with a thin little beam and just cut perfect slices
of cheese. Like, the noisy cricket from Men in Black, except a lightsaber. Just like a,
Exactly. Beep.
That would be pretty sick. I'm not going to lie. I think maybe even Yoda's lightsaber. I mean, it's pretty fucking small. Well, the next one here is fantastic. Ornamental woodworking. I mean, that if you get into wood shop, the bell rings, you pull into wood shop and everyone's getting their standard, cutlery. I think, is that only kitchen? I don't know.
Yeah.
They're getting their
kitchen. They're getting their saws and
and all that stuff. And you're like, whoa, hold the phone, Mr. I don't know, Lazinski. That sounds like a shop teacher's name. Hold on, Mr. Lazinski. I don't need that. I'm packing and I'm stacking. And he pulls out, wada wham, a lightsaber, and then goes to town. That'd be badass.
That would be badass. All right, next use or next state group is force uses.
Yeah,
I think everybody knows that the best use of the force here would be the universe's best quote unquote stranger. If you don't know what that is, go ahead and go to Urban Dictionary and figure that one out.
Yeah, check that one out. But I feel like you don't have to take the time to sit. It takes a while. One of those things, just in order to heat properly, get everything ready for an efficient stranger, takes a little bit of time, and this completely takes that time. Yeah, it takes it completely out of the equation. I feel like that would be the best thing ever. And it's true. Only you know your level of pleasure. So you could probably get yourself pretty well. So next one, we have construction purposes. We're getting back to the practical. It's not going to stay that way, obviously, but you're moving shit around. You got big cement blocks, big, beams of metal. I forget because I am a moron. What are those things called that are big metal beams? That you move them around. I can't think of what they're actually. Maybe that is it. And I'm just a complete imbecile. Yeah. So you can move those things around. It'd be great. We've hit that one hard enough.
Yeah. I just want to preface this one by saying I did not write this one. Making your mother-in-law stop talking. Just a little force shut.
Oh my God. They just be like,
the best part about that though would be like the fear afterwards, because you'd only have to do it once, right? And then you just like, anytime they start talking afterwards, you just raise your hand up in like a, like you're about to clamp down and just watch them like,
quiver. It's trained behaviorism. It's trained behavior.
Exactly. It's Pavlov's dog right there.
And so I was just about to say, it's like wearing a shock collar for a dog. I feel like every mother-in-law kind of needs a shock collar anyways of some kind. So you know how many people just tuned out of our podcast for that?
Or just became big fans, one or the other. On that one.
So next one, opening and closing bathroom doors and stalls, and also flushing toilets. That would be pretty handy, especially with the world today, as we're always wearing. I feel like I have an extra skin on my hands at all times because I'm always wearing rubber gloves. I wouldn't really have to worry about things, and I wouldn't have to worry about germs getting on me. It sounds like a win-win scenario.
Absolutely. Like, as God knows, you don't want to be in an airport bathroom and have to try to touch the stall. Granted, a lot of them, have the sensor flush now, but even a lot of the times, you have to hit the thing with your foot or something. And it's just, and then you still have to open up the goddamn stall door, and it's just a mess.
Yeah. Or any public access spot in Philadelphia. That sounds mean, but I don't know if you've ever been to Philadelphia, but their shit's gross. So sorry,
Philadelphia. San Francisco too. So they literally have shit in the streets.
Yeah, grime. Yeah. Oh my God, the next one.
The next one. It now, if you are one to be entertained easily, this would be great for you. You could do your own puppet shows. How great would that be? Just, you know, you could use your force powers to construct a little puppet box, right? And then you have little sock puppets that you control, and you and your friends can voice them. And then if you don't like what your friend says, you just force choke him, and it's best puppet show ever.
What if you were like a chosen winner of some sweepstakes, and you're a little kid, and you actually got to go to like Sesame Street, and you're super excited, and you get there, and your mom goes with you, and you're a kid, it's, you know, this stuff's real, you know, it's fucking real, you know, these puppets are, there's no one behind it, and you know, and your mom's like, okay, all right, sweetheart, well, let's just go there, and the mom's like rolling their eyes, okay, well, they get there, and you see the mom, the look on the mom's face, when, holy shit! They're moving on their own. And the kid's like, yay, Elmo. My mom's like, we need to get the fuck out of here before these possessed little demon puppets come and kill us all.
I was expecting Grover to have a hand up his ass, and he's walking freely. This is fucked up. All right, very fucked good, up, very man. Good. All right, we'll move into droid types. I think the first one is right on the nose for you, JB.
It is. So before we get to the droid type stuff like that, I'm going to say there are the actual droid types with range from the Astromechs, the Protocol, the IG Assassins, the Pit Droids, Destroyer Droids, B1 Battle Droids, BLX General Labor Droids. There's a lot of droids in the Star Wars universe. But the one that we don't have, that Disney, up on their fucking high horse, just won't bring to the public eye, is a sex bot. I don't know if I could fuck a robot that looked or resembled C-3PO, but if I was drunk enough and there was a wig, you know, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see how the night treats us.
What about if R2-D2 had a vacuum function?
Oh, kind of like Zero Frux. He's got a vacuum. Right. He's got a vacuum. Well, You may uh-oh, find me later with our new little guy in the broom closet experimenting.
He's going to send your ass into space. Good luck. Next up, best buddy droids. I mean, who can go wrong with that? Hanging out with your best pal all the time. And he's programmed to do whatever you want to do.
And I want to clarify, that's what I meant when I wrote that down. And then I realized, just for clarification's sake, I don't know how this slipped my mind, but there is an organization called Best Buddies. Oh. That does deal with special needs. Did not at all intend for that joke to land in that light. So just for everyone out there that knows that, I really did. We really did mean friendship. So sorry. That's all I'm saying about that.
Right. Not best buddy trademark droids.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a droid that will automatically laugh at all your jokes and, you know, watch the stupid shit you want to watch on TV and, you know, play catch exactly with stuff like that.
For sure, for sure, for sure. So the next one here is pretty good. This one would have come in handy with the movie Office Space. I feel like it probably would have cleared a lot of stuff up, a lot of plots in that movie, specifically one plot.
Right.
A stapler droid whose only job is to literally staple papers. And you know, hey, you asked for this. You decided to click on this episode link and listen to it. So you knew that we were not going to talk about tons of legitimate, awesome droid functions. We're not solving any of society's problems right now. We're just talking about all the funny shit that we could do. So, stapler droids.
Speaking of all the funny shit we could do, that's what she said, droids. Literally programmed. Mm. They have an algorithm in their system that will find the most inappropriate circumstances to say that's what she said, and they will.
They need to remake the original trilogy and just throw like a CGI droid in the background, or someone needs to get on that. And anytime someone says anything, have that droid pop up and be like, "That's what she said."
Oh my God! Somebody can make a killer YouTube channel just doing that.
Oh, they could. Fantastic. Oh my God.
I mean, ugh, George Lucas would sue the absolute living hell out of you, but it would be hilarious for that sure, those 24 hours that it was up.
What are we on next? Let me see here. La, 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 la. laundromat droids because fuck folding things. I don't like doing my laundry. I don't know if you like doing yours, Ripley, but laundry just kind of sucks in general. So I think a laundromat droid would be great.
I completely agree. Like, I don't have a problem throwing clothes into the washer, into the dryer. Not that I really do it anyways. My wife is great and does it. But that part's not the hard part. It's the folding and the putting away that really needs the assistance. Next one, again, going back to things that really don't help the world's problems, but we still want them. Butter your toast droids. Yes, we're ripping off Rick and Morty here, but damn it, we want to see it.
Yep. We do. I want that to be a real thing in real life. I want that to be a Lucasfilm production really bad. next, we have the obvious personal assistant droid. Who wouldn't want a personal assistant droid? I mean, good Lord. I feel like it'd be way better than an actual personal assistant because you wouldn't have to pay them.
Exactly. And then you could have the their counterpart, the mundane work droid, which, you know, just does all those meaningless tasks, answers phone calls, replies to emails, you know, does all this stuff that, you know, every job has a little bit of mundane work, right? And so this would do that for you. So you could free your mind up for more captivating activities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like rotting your brain out watching tons of reruns of Friends on Netflix, like everyone does. So we also got selfie droids on here for those intergalactic influencers. Yeah, that need to be thrown into a Sarlacc pit.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I completely agree with you that they, I mean, yeah, just take Kim Kardashian with you. Fuck.
Jesus Christ. Get him out of here, man. I mean, oh, Lord. I wish we could line up all of the intergalactic influencers and just kind of tip them over into a Sarlacc pit. Just kind of like tip. Maybe that's another droid. A droid literally only programmed to tip over intergalactic influencers into Sarlacc pits. That'd be a really hard name or hard droid to market, but I think we could probably find a way.
Or a droid that throws cell phones with their own Instagram pages pulled up at them in the head so that they fall back into the Sarlacc pit. That would be hilarious.
Much more poetic, much more poetic. A lot, very, very John Woo. You know, I feel like a dove would need to fly by when that happened. Also, but you know,
I was thinking doves would definitely need be a must at this point. Then again, I don't know what the atmosphere is like near the Sarlacc pit. Who knows? I mean, they seem to be okay breathing on their own when they're there in the movies. But who knows about doves and their breathing system? Fuck, I don't know. Speaking of things I know zero about, the zero model flatulence unit that has just boarded our ship, the X series prototype, hence zero model of the BLX general labor droid series, zero fucks for short.
That's what I'm saying. That's a fantastic. I'm glad that he's with us. I can't wait to see what he brings to the black swirl. But more importantly, I can't wait to see what he gets rid of that is in the black swirl. So. Yeah, that'd be great.
Please, many things.
The more we scrub, we don't seem to get anywhere. So glad he's around. But
well, we need to get rid of that crusty sock collection of yours first.
Well, don't we want to use the Force and have a puppet show? I mean, maybe.
Not with those things.
Okay, fine. Yeah, you're probably right.
Contract syphilis from those.
Probably right. That's accurate. That's accurate. So, all right, what's the next one we got here?
Customer service droids.
Okay. So solely used to talk to customer service, kind of like a dumb droid speaking to an even dumber droid.
Yep, pretty much. That's a good call. I had to. So today I canceled my DirecTV. I'd been with them for 12 years, and I just had enough. There's like streaming. You know, there's so many different options out there now. You know, YouTube, Sling, Hulu. You know. Fubo, I mean, there's at least like seven decent alternatives out there that are half the cost of DirecTV. So I called them and finally, you know, canceled. And of course, they're always going to give you a sales pitch of, well, what if we, you know, give you this offer and stuff. So I was expecting like some huge offer, like, because when I moved here, they gave me $50 off each month for a year. And so I'm like, all right, that works for me. $20 off for 3 months is what they offered me. I laughed at it.
Fuck that.
Still puts it. I'm like, you are still 70% above YouTube's price. Why would I stay with you?
Oh my. Goodbye.
So it would have been great to have a droid handle that instead of me sitting on the phone with him for 25 minutes just to get things canceled, because God forbid they will not let you cancel online.
I just think it'd be really funny to hear a robotic voice talk to another robotic voice back and forth. Like, where are they going to, how far can that go? You know what I mean? That'd get really boring after the first half an hour, but you know it'd be entertaining for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, next one we got is the DMV droids, so no one has to do that godforsaken job. I feel like everyone who has to go to the DMV hates their life, but I also equally feel like anyone that is being paid to have to be at the DMV is also hating their life, you know? Just let a fucking tin can do it for you.
So we do have a little bit more to go, so we'll kind of speed it up here a little bit. Next up, cybernetics, and basically the biodong. I mean, you know, if you're going to be the $5 million man, make sure that you have $4.9 million invested in your penis.
That is probably the biggest takeaway of any episode we've had so far. So there you go. Next up, we got holograms, hollow projectors. Again, think space porn. That's all I can think of. I mean, holy cow!
Is there anything else?
Can it get more real? It's really the only thing you could even say about that. That or maybe Call of Duty or PUBG.
I just want the holograms to have a little bit more picture or like coloration to them. I mean, you know, they're too see-through and stuff.
Not that blue shade like that they have all the
exactly.
time.
You know, I don't want the flickering. I want some real life shit here. Come on, let's go. Next up, moon bases. Think the Death Star, except for fast food. Burger Star.
Yeah, because this is America. If it doesn't blow something up, you know it's going to feed us greasy shit.
That is what we'd use our jetpacks for. To fly to Burger Star.
Yes.
It's all coming together.
It is. It really is. Next, we got star-destroying and planet-killing weaponry, which, as ridiculous as that is pretty fucking cool. So think acne control. Imagine the possibilities. Blast your zits into hyperspace. I mean, that's a good use. But I think the next one that you came up with is even better.
Or you could just, you know, make your own YouTube series of blowing up watermelons in 2 liters with it. That would be fucking great. See this giant-ass laser that, you know, is the size of the moon, pinpointed on a little 2-liter bottle or a watermelon.
You know,
that thing.
They'd all be,
and Gallagher's
they'd all
like,
be planets. They'd all be planets in the southern part of the galaxy, you know, all those southern. the southern part of the empire is doing all that shit.
Oh, goddamn it. All right.
Light speed hyperdrives. This is a good one. So when she says, what are you doing at 2 a.m.? Shooting you a text or, you know, send nudes. I feel like that's there is not a better function for that. I mean, that's exactly what
absolutely.
I would do.
Like you're at her doorstep before you can even reply. Yep. Next up, best Postmates service ever, obviously, or pizza delivery. I mean, fuck anything. Jimmy John's would be devastated
crush
if this
it.
Happened. They're like that. No, they would be crushed. That's our thing. No,
not anymore. Okay, you could have so many marketing slogans for the Millennium Falcon, Fast Falcon, or
Fast Falcon trademark.
There we go. All right, next up, we got pod racers, speeders, hover bikes, basically levitation tech. So the first pod racers beats the fuck out of NASCAR. I mean, death and explosions are involved. You know, imagine those being street legal and passing one on the highway. You know, you get all, you get psyched when you see those little three-wheeled motorbike things that you're like, ooh, those look super futuristic. Imagine seeing a... That was a really poor pod racer impression. But,
and not to mention, you know, all the side bets going on for people's, you know, right to live and or being in indentured servitude for the rest of their life. You know, that always adds to the
that's
stakes.
True. Imagine, like in the movie, Tusken Raiders taking pot shots at your Prius as these things pass you by. Like all of a sudden you hear, like that's like I just did that. Shoop, 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 shoop. Then all of a sudden... And all of a sudden your Prius, you gotta go get a new fender because fucking sand person just shot your Shot your goddamn Prius up. Man, can we say, I will digress one more second before we get anything else, but Sebulba the Doug, the weird-looking alien that talks with his feet, remember from episode one, you know, that only had two good parts, which is the pod racing part, and then the Duel of the Fates lightsaber battle with Darth Maul. That was the most badass-sounding racer of anything I've ever heard. You know, it's that one that makes that...
The
coolest shit ever.
You're right. That was there were two salvageable parts in that movie, and those were it.
Mm-hmm.
However,
it's basically
even the pod racing scene is tainted by like the acting of the onlookers. Well, Jake Lloyd's acting as well. But I mean, if you can edit out those parts and just like seeing all the crashing and everything else and the Tusken Raiders, great. But
agreed.
That movie is, I mean, it's not Ghost Rider 2 bad, but it's pretty bad.
Still beats the shit out of all of the sequel movies. I would rather watch The Phantom Menace than any of the sequel trilogies 100 times over. Because have Obi-Wan Kenobi, you've got Qui-Gon Jinn, you've got Darth Maul. There's so many good characters I would rather than characters see, I don't know. We differ. I have a newfound love for the prequels in a weird way that I've like, I don't hate them all to that degree. The dialogue, especially from Attack of the Clones, was atrocious. But you know, and
Phantom
some
Menace
of the acting
terrible.
It wasn't.
We're digressing hardcore here. We will save this
back
for
on track.
A follow-up. But moving on to force fields. First one, the ultimate no-no square for protection.
That's right. Don't touch me there. This is my no-no square. Ultimate spit protection.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Ultimate spit protection from the clone sitting in the cubicle right next to you. Who doesn't just say it, he sprays it. I think that'd be a good, just put up a force field. You're good to go.
There you go. And probably the best use for it, preventing people from interrupting your alone time.
And you know when we didn't list would be great for playing tag. My force field. Get out of my fucking force field.
Next one is carbonite freezing.
All right, that's a good one. That is a good one. You know, the best beer fridge in the galaxy.
Yeah, I mean, hard to argue with that, especially if you're drinking cheap swill. At least make it cold enough that you can't taste it.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yeah. Hate the current president? Hop in for 4 years and shut the fuck up. He's done.
That's true. That is true. Doesn't matter what your political affiliations are. You know, the likelihood of your person getting picked, you know, at some point down the line, it's probably very high. So just hop in there, hit frappe, and just wait your turn. So one more year until the next season of your favorite show comes out? No, not anymore. Just hop in the fucking carbonite. You're good.
You're there. Yeah, I mean, just make sure you adjust for the momentary blindness.
I forgot about the paralysis. I completely forgot. Yes, if you're okay with going blind for, 24 to 48 hours, then go for it.
That's right. Looking to expand your exotic animal collection, Richard Connell style, you should definitely be locked up, but there you go.
And, you know, side note, for those of you who don't know who Richard Connell is, he wrote The Most Dangerous Game. So, anyways, they'll probably connect some dots for people who are like, Richard Connell? What the fuck are they talking about? So cloning, we all love the Kamino cloning aliens, the big tall necks that look the most realistic. Realistic, that's, relative. But, like the grays are depicted in all the conspiracy files. I feel like they looked very much like, I don't know, you call them Kaminoans or Kaminoans. I don't know. Anyways, the fucking aliens that made the clones. Think of all the Lisa Anns, old, middle-aged, young, energetic. You can have so many Lisa Anns. So many Lisa Anns.
I'm not even going to try to follow that up. So let's go ahead and move on to probes.
Yeah, probe is good.
First one, which comes to you courtesy of Joba Fett, is Mick fisting the thing of the past. Who needs to fist when you have probes now?
Yeah, you're fine. You know, just don't worry about getting that fist in there, man. You could probably, yeah, you got a probe now. Probe's probably at least fist sized, maybe bigger, depending on what model you get. So, I don't know. And then there's another good one, the one that Ripley listed here, is a prostate release probe, if you're into that sort of thing. You know, there you go, Doc.
Thinking about a road trip, obviously, or if you're into Letterkenny, there's multiple references to the male G spot that's up there. But
I thought you're gonna make a reference to say that's a Texas sized probe.
I would hope not. So. Ain't nobody got time for that shit. And finally, the final piece of tech are walkers, such as the AT-AT, the AT-ST, the AT-TT, the AT-NT, I mean, Sprint, Verizon, what the fuck?
The new TNN, the Man Show. No, I'm sorry.
Man, I just want TT.
Yeah, where my TT at? Oh, man. Man, the fuck were these things even a thing? I don't understand. Why did we go from giant tanks and hover tech in the prequels to things that walked on twos and fours, adding a major damage destruction risk factor in the original trilogy? Isn't that like taking an engineering step backwards? I don't understand why they thought that would be an optimal. I mean, I get, maybe it was for the hover, what were those things called? The A-wings? No, they just called snow speeders, weren't they? Were they just called snow speeders in Hoth and the Empire Strikes? They shoot the little cable and it like wraps around their legs. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
I think they're just called snow speeders. I guess that was the whole point. Like, well, how the fuck are we going to make these cables relevant? I don't know. Make fucking giant walking cats. You know, just make them walk around.
Make giraffes with long legs and no neck.
Yeah. No neck. Oh, you know what? You know, were they meant to look like giant cats? I think the trash sequels from, like, The Last Jedi, you know, those upgraded versions from Crate. Do you remember that? On that planet that was like the red sand on that. Mm-hmm. Is a horrible movie. Anyways, I feel like they should have made those look like dogs because that would have been cool. You could upgrade from a cat to a dog for the next trilogy. And then there could be bloopers of like them chasing each other. It'd be really awesome.
Lord Vader here. I interrupt your broadcast to bring you a brief message. Every other week, be sure to tune in to Close Encounters of the Slurred Kind to catch the latest edition of The Sith Sense, a mini-series in which I, ruler of the Galactic Empire, bestow the darkest knowledge the universe has to offer in an effort to solve your pathetic problems. Are you getting ghosted on Tinder? I know how to deal with ghosts. Just ask Jar Jar. How should you handle the first time you forgot your anniversary? Allow me to explain to her the Sith's rule of two. How on earth does your mother always know best? Allow me to check her midichlorian count. Camping on indoor with no fire and a pack of half-frozen Franks? I'll show you how to tweak the settings to turn your lightsaber into a lifesaver. All you have to do to unlock these dark Sith secrets and more is send an email to closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com. That's closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com. Or send us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at The Slurred Kind. I sense much excitement and anticipation in you. Search your feelings, you know it to be true. Remember, don't be a hater. Listen to the Vader. Wait, can we edit that last part out?
All right. Well, that wraps up our tech segment. This was a little bit long-winded, but we hope you enjoyed it. Let's go ahead and move into segment two real quickly. Now, this should be interesting. We've basically taken a bunch of fringe Star Wars characters, ones that people may or may not know of, but there isn't a lot of screen time for them, and basically gave them extremely ridiculous backstories.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
Jova, why don't you take us off on that one?
All right, so I'll say my first character, then, you know, Ripley will say his, then I'll say mine. You know how this works. You've probably been listening to the show for at least as long as it's been aired. So the first one I'm going to talk about is the Cantina Band. Who are they, you ask? It's a six-piece group. Eight have been in and out of the group over time of Bith musicians that were uber popular in the tattoo system. They are known by their hit song Mad About Me, which they played at the Mos Eisley Cantina on Tatooine and various other locations over time, like Jabba's Palace. They're officially known, this is the title, Figrin Daon and the Modal Nodes. That's what those little guys sound. That's their actual title. And their members and instruments include it's going to fuck all this shit up. This is going to be so bad. Doik Natas playing the the Dorinian Beshnequil. And then Fiery Figrin Daon. That's the main guy, the guy who started the whole thing. Fiery Figrin Daon plays the clue horn and the Gassan string drum. Then we have Ichabel Gaunt playing the double Jossamer. Then we have Liren Kern playing the second clue horn. Then we have Naylin Cheel playing the band fill. I don't fucking clue what that is. Then we have Sunil Aidi playing the drums. And of course, you can't forget Tech Moore playing the Omnibox. And finally, everyone's favorite, Tedden Dehy playing the fanfare. So, fun fact, the form of music they play in the movies is called Bith.
Bith?
The race of the alien is the Bith. I can't say this without laughing. I'm sorry. The form of music they play is called Bith Jizz. Not to be confused with Bath Jizz.
Oh my God.
It's actually true. I looked it up. It's on Wikipedia. The band leader, Figrin Daon, has a reputation as a strong negotiator, but with a knack for making poor decisions, which explains how he landed on Jabba the Hutt's bad side. The band was contracted to play exclusively for Jabba the Hutt, but it secretly played the wedding reception for the crime lord's nemesis, Lady Valerian, who you'd know from the Clone Wars, forcing the members to go underground until Jabba the Hutt's death. During that time, they performed under the alias Babarine and the Wookiee Cotters. So now, here comes my what if. Brace yourselves. Buckle your seatbelts. We're going in hard. Here we go. That was almost English. We all know that Palpatine was the overall big bad of the Star Wars saga. This is common knowledge now. Big thanks to the Trash Trilogy for reminding us of this in the most unnecessary of ways. But what if Palpatine started out as a bright-eyed, aspiring musician, going by the moniker of Pompous Palpy? What if he used his Force powers in the early days to master the arts of the clue horn string drum? Maybe he and old Fiery Figrin were old music rivals, and they both tried to start a band, but the others followed Figrin and kicked old Palpy to the curb. Maybe this ultimately led to a very dark path of hookers, death sticks, and eventually the dark side. Maybe that's how his hatred began. Every time he heard that damn song played, he grew more and more in the dark side, thus guiding his path to becoming Darth Sidious as we know him. Need a real life example? I mean, Hitler being told he couldn't paint. Lesson? You don't fuck with an artist.
That is true. All right. I just want to say that you and me definitely went on slightly different routes.
Trajectories?
Yes. But nonetheless, we will proceed on. So I'm doing Greedo. So Greedo, of course, the swarmy bounty hunter that everybody loves to argue about whether he shot first or not. Doesn't get a lot of screen time thanks to Han laying quick ways to him. But what people don't know is there's a much softer side to Greedo that isn't talked about. So Greedo was actually a family man. He had a beautiful-ish wife. And three children, Leto, Keto, and Speedo. He was actually having a change of heart about being about his role as a bounty hunter, and he was going to use the the winnings, the haul from bringing in Solo to fund his post bounty hunting adventure by opening up a Jawa Adventure World. Sadly, he never got a chance.
Such a bummer. That would have been amazing. I would go to that world.
Yeah, those little lights or eyes lighting up and shit. Yeah.
Would the play place have been in one of their little Elon Musk cyber trucks?
Cyber trucks.
I'm assuming it would have been.
By the way, I did watch the episode of Rick and Morty the other night where he's actually a guest star in it. And
Elon Tusk. Elon Tusk. Yes, that was so brilliant. So brilliant.
Fantastic.
Oh, man. Well, I like that. I think that's, and this is good. People are learning what these characters that should have a little bit more depth to them. They're learning things. So the next, we have Lobot or Lo. Who is this person? According to Wikipedia. Oh, well, first of all, let me just give you some backstory. Do you remember the bald guy with the weird fucking contraptions on his head? It was like, it looked like he had these two things in place of his ears. Like, he didn't have ears. He had these two things sticking out. You see him in the background of Cloud City with Calrissian and Empire Strikes Back a few times, and that's, like, the only screen time he gets, like, no speaking parts at all. So, according to Wikipedia, during the Galactic Civil War between the Galactic Empire and the Alliance to restore the Republic, Lobot, a male human from Bespin, was hired by the Empire to run battlefield calculations. In order to do so, he allowed the Imperials to implant an AJ-6 construct to his brain, exchanging some of his personality. Fun fact, this is true, supposedly, from the sources that I found on, Wikipedia and stuff. Lando and Lobot were besties hanging like testies, and they helped each other run criminal jobs alongside Calrissian aboard the Falcon, and eventually became Calrissian's aide and personal chef on Cloud City. But what if, here's my what if, this one's a twofer. The names Lando and Lobot are too similar to be a coincidence, as is their friendship. I think maybe something more was going on. We all know Lando practically fucked a droid due to the uncomfortable objectophilia displayed in Solo, A Star Wars Story. Did you watch that?
Yes, I did.
You remember when he had that weird fucking scene with his droid?
Yes,
and he's like all,
yes.
Yeah, so we all know he probably fucked that droid. Lucas should have just called him Objecto for objectophilia. I think Lando / Objecto was digging that permanent Sony Walkman installed in Lobot's head, and he wanted to go 12 parsecs deep in that shit. So this isn't too far-fetched, given Lando is a naturally gifted con man, and Lobot had his humanity removed, getting those fucking Nokia phones welded to his brain. So manipulating this bald dude would have been like taking candy for a baby, and then banging it. So maybe criminal activity wasn't the only thing going on aboard the Millennium. Fuck 'em. I'm just saying. So for the second part of this, I don't buy that his headpiece was only used to run battle calculations. I think he was jamming to his favorite tunes and just nodding anytime anyone said anything. That's why he has virtually no speaking parts in the movies. And, he couldn't be bothered to talk because he was constantly listening to 369. Get low. Get it? Lobot? Get low? Anyway, there you have it.
All right. Next up, I've got Lorth Nida. Now, Captain Nida may not be known by his name. In fact, you're probably like, who the fuck is this guy? But his character will live in infamy as the man who was force-strangled by Darth Vader for his insolence. I'm sure anybody that's watched the original trilogy.
Oh, I remember this guy.
Yeah, basically, he knows Darth Vader's mad at him. And so instead of basically relaying bad news over their communications, he flies over to the Imperial Starship, I believe, or the Death Star. I don't know. Wherever Darth Vader is.
Whatever the fuck they were. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
To deliver the news in person. And Darth Vader subsequently force strangles him to death. And then, accepts his apology as they're dragging his dead ass out the door. So anyways, that's what he's known for. What wasn't known about Nita was that he was an undercover operative for the human rights group Pro-Anal. That's People's Rights Over Alien and Non-Human Alliance League. and was assigned to plant a software bug that would play holographic porn all over empirical communication devices. Unfortunately for the rebels and viewers, this never came to fruition.
Oh, bummer. God, if only.
Dumbass had to fly out and see Darth.
Of course he did. Of course he did. Darth, you get all the glory, damn it. Quit hogging the screen. Give somebody else a chance. Jeez. Annie. Okay. So, the next one. We couldn't let this episode go on without bringing up everyone's favorite Gungan, Jar Jar Binks.
What's happened to you?
You said burn your face?
Annie Papani! What's happened to you?
Who is he? If you don't know, you need to take your head out of your ass. Because despite being the most universally hated character of all time, Jar Jar was a Gungan idiot from the depths of Naboo that, for fuckery's sake, somehow became a goddamn representative of the Republic. Do you remember this? Do you remember this thing? They made him a fucking representative of the Republic! Oh my god. Fun fact, this is
Misa
great.
Political.
Misa political now, Annie! Woo! So, fun fact about old Jar Jar that I didn't know this, and I did some research and I found this. His Senate seat must not have lasted long because according to StarWarsFandom.com, during the time of the Battle of Jakku, you know, later on, he was outcast to expedite the rise of the Empire and could be found as a street performer in the capital city of, because if you remember, he's the one who advocates for Palpatine to become the supreme leader in Revenge of the Sith. When they finally give the power to him to end the war with the Separatists and the Federation. Mm-hmm. You remember that? Remember that sole plot line? Because he was the sole person who, you know, did that. They were all like, fuck, we wouldn't be having the Empire and all this stuff if Jar Jar had just shut the fuck up and let everything play out how it was supposed to. So here's my what if. And this isn't my what if. This is an actual theory from Reddit. So we all know this one. Rather than old pompous Palpy, as, you know, speaking of, you know, Palpatine from before, being the galactic master manipulator, what if Jar Jar was the puppeteer all along? For those that have not heard this infamous Reddit theory, here we go. Jar Jar has an apparent penchant for battle, despite his incompetence. After all, he casually demonstrates abilities we've seen in our favorite Jedi and Sith, including an epic force jump that I somehow blocked from my memory. If you remember that, in the first, when he jumps into the water, into Naboo, he does this weird fucking jump. I was like, how the hell did he do that? Along with pretty much every scene he was in episode one. Additionally, Jar Jar managed to escape all of the first movie's battles unscathed and accidentally kicked major ass. I don't know about you. Anytime I've ever been in a fight, I've never been accidentally victorious. I always get my ass handed to me, you know, hand over fist. So, additionally, there are a few clips where Jar Jar's mouth seems to be moving in sync with other characters' dialogue, which is more than spooky. In the Sith Jar Jar theory, he was actually using Jedi mind control, helping to will the events of the first movie to his favor. Fucking crazy. George Lucas is known for introducing characters who seem unimportant or annoying at first and later surprising his audience with their true intention. I mean, you remember Yoda in the first few seasons of The Empire Strikes Back? He's a weird, old, powerless creature living in the swamps of Dagobah. It can be assumed that Lucas was attempting to do the same with Jar Jar, until the backlash and hatred from the fans became too deafening, and he decided to be like, okay, get the fuck out of here. You know, maybe he was going to be the one that ended everything, you know? This theory would also explain plot holes, like the hasty introduction of Count Dooku in Attack of the Clones. If Dooku was such an important character to Sith and Jedi alike, why wasn't he at least mentioned in The Phantom Menace? They don't even talk about him. Because apparently Jar Jar was going to be the only one secretly pulling strings and meant to fight Yoda in episode 2. Indeed, Binks is the one who convinced the Galactic Senate to grant Palpatine absolute power, like I said earlier. So basically, Jar Jar created the Emperor. And even the actor who played Jar Jar Binks, I don't know if you saw this, but I had to share it, supported this theory on Twitter by saying, he literally stated, when this theory became, like, well-known, he says, I will say this, it feels really good when the hidden meaning behind the work is seen, no matter how long it takes. Hashtag TPM. So, even the actor board with it. I think they should redeem the sequel dumpster fire by making a brand new trilogy. You know, call it episode 10, 11, and 12, focusing on Jar Jar's plan finally coming to fruition. We'll call it episode 10, Misa back! episode 12, episode 12, Gungan's Grasp, and episode 13, The Fall of the Foolish. I think that'd be great.
I was hoping you were going to call it Stardar.
Stardar Banks.
All right. All right. Very good. All right. Let me wake up real quick and do my final.
Sorry. Backstory. I know it was probably, it was long-winded, but it had to be said.
All right. Fair enough. I'm going to end with a quick one. Maz Kanata, who, of course, is that helpful tavern keeper. She's known as the wise but blunt, yet still caring tavern operator that kind of, you know, portrayed as someone that seemed likable, but most people don't know she has a hidden and very dark backstory. So this lady, who is known as the Pirate Queen, which, by the way, is not me making shit up, that actually is true, spent a millennia as a pirate and a smuggler before she got into human and non-human trafficking. Things hit a peak when she became the main trafficker for the Sith's budding Stuffin' Ewok franchise. However, it
Stuffin'
was only
Ewok.
After, it was only after one of the furry fuck's eyes landed in her martini glass that she did have a change of heart and started on her path towards redemption.
I can only imagine how much profit future Build-A-Bear factories could have from stuffed Ewoks.
Stuffing Ewok.
Oh my god, that's actually a brilliant plan. I mean, it's morbid as shit. Could you imagine seeing like the lifeless bodies of them being hung and sold in like huts on Tatooine and other planets? Fuck no, they weren't on Tatooine. They were indoor, right? Wasn't it indoor?
Yeah, I think so.
But god, that's funny as shit. Now the only thing I'm gonna think anytime anyone has a, you know, a teddy bear or is trying to get into the teddy bear selling business, which isn't a lot of people, mind you, I'm just gonna think of Maz Kanata. Hot damn.
Very good. So now that we've heard very little of me and a lot of Joba, we're going to hear a lot more of Joba here as he talks about how it should have ended and even begun, quote unquote, the trash trilogy.
Yes, here we go. So bear with me, everybody. I confidently feel like I have fixed all three of these films, and I want to discuss all my points with Ripley. If you guys have any questions or you think it would be a good idea or a bad idea or why I'm wrong, by all means, send us messages. We'd love to hear them. So for the first one, The Force Awakens, here's how I'd fix it. First point, Kylo Ren would not have used Vader as his dark side inspiration. It made no sense, especially having been taught by Luke that Anakin was eventually saved in the end. I would have had him be tempted by some ancient dark side character, possessed or possibly reborn, while away as a Padawan on a mission solo. See what I did there for Luke? He was solo on a solo mission because he's, you know, Han's kid. Maybe Han or Leia's DNA or midichlorian makeup was tampered with by the ghost of Revan. I don't know if you know Revan or Darth Bane, but they were some of those Knights of the Old Republic baddies. Or he just fell prey to temptation in a Sith temple. Either way, he would have either found his own agenda or come to realize his destiny as a reborn ancient Sith Lord. I think that would have been way cooler than having him mimic Darth Vader, because Vader had his own stuff. I mean, Vader became irrelevant in the end. Not irrelevant, but you know what I mean? Like, he was saved. So it didn't make sense that he was pining to be like Darth Vader when he probably was raised to know that Darth Vader was eventually redeemed. Does that make sense?
It does.
I don't know. I mean, it's fair to say. My next point is they would actually use the Knights of motherfucking Ren. Why were they introduced and made such a big deal about from the get-go if we never got to see them ever at all, ever? You know, and I actually like this one of all the three movies, so not a lot would change in terms of the characters, but I'd give them serious development and serious development tweaks. So first off being, the connection wouldn't have been very strong with Rey and Han, even though they would have been introduced and met. He would have connected with Poe and handed Poe the keys to the Falcon, since Poe Dameron was obviously supposed to, you know, have a smuggler, spice runner turned pilot plotline. And this could have added to the fuel to make Kylo jealous and ultimately kill Han, because Han was paying more attention to Poe than his own son, which, while sad, it gave the movie gravity and it cemented it as a monumental moment. So I probably would have kept that scene in there with him dying, because it just, it adds a lot. Yeah, so I would have kept that in there. How do you feel about that? Like, having Poe be the one that connects with Han?
I think it makes sense. I mean,
it was awkward. Rey and his relationship was just weird to me. I don't know.
Yeah. It is kind of, I guess I never thought about it.
It just didn't make much sense. I didn't understand. They didn't have any qualities that, like, you know, coincided or whatever. All right, moving on to my next point. I would have made it a unique vision and not a carbon copy of A New Hope. Did you ever see, did you correlate how The Force Awakens is basically a repackaged and repurposed A New Hope? I mean, it's the exact same storyline. Giant star planet killing thing, everything redone with new characters. I would have used a different plot device, such as a galactic or cosmic threat that brings everybody together, like a natural occurrence involving the Force disrupting nature. So someone as powerful as Rey and others would have to join together to confront and fix it. Kind of like a natural disaster involving the Force. I would have shown shades of a big bad guy once the problem was rectified, setting up for the next movie. No, it wouldn't have been Snoke. I thought Snoke was terrible. He was definitely a rehash of the Emperor. You
and
know what
pointless.
I mean?
Pointless.
And pointless, exactly. And they ended up being just stupid. So
yeah.
I think they should have worked.
Never knew what he was. Like, never, ever. Like, what the fuck?
It was so dumb. It didn't make any sense. So I think they should have gone with a completely different route and had a unique vision for the movie's plot and not have a complete carbon copy. Now, there is a carbon copy I'll mention later, but continuing with this. So next point, no resistance or First Order. That was stupid, and the galaxy should still be at peace at this time. It hasn't been that long since the whole original trilogy happened. I would have shown the threat of a new empire starting to form under a new bad guy, kind of like Grand Admiral Thrawn from the Extended Universe, or the Legends series now, I guess is what it's called. He's this big blue guy that was in these books, and like, it was a really, really good storyline that they could have gone with, but they didn't. But I would not have started the damn movie in the middle of a copy and paste war we already saw a few decades prior. I would have definitely used a bad guy from the Old Republic or the older Legends canon, you know, like Grand Admiral Thrawn, because there was so much rich history that they just threw away. And they could have brought back a fan favorite and continued with that, and it would have been awesome. So I don't know if you think that's a good idea or not, but I would have not had them just rush in the middle of this war going, like, open the movie in the middle of a war when they just ended a series where they had peace in the galaxy. They should have had hints of something starting in the new
right.
In the new,
they're looking,
you know what
at,
I mean?
Like 30 to 40 years later, and all of a sudden the First Order develops and it has, you know,
exactly
like 3 million soldiers. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's my whole point.
It
didn't
rushed.
Make exactly. And, you know, I have another point, you know, I would not have made the Force a laughable or unbelievable thing, just like you just said. It had only been like 30 or 40 years. How could people have forgotten about the Force so quickly in just a few decades? I mean, you can't not believe in the Jedi when they had a motherfucking Jedi temple. I mean, on Coruscant, the most populated planet, the giant dome temple where they practiced the Force and everyone saw it. I would still treat the Force as a mysterious and important factor of life, but I would have, you know, I would move past the blatantly ignorant viewpoints of it being like, is it real? It's not real. And then Han's like, oh, it's all real. Of course it's real. Everyone saw it for centuries. Everyone is fucking, do you guys not document your shit? Of course the Force is real. I thought that was ridiculous. So that's how I would have fixed The Force Awakens. Introduce new cosmic threat, hints of a new bad guy and a new regime forming, and all the other aforementioned things. So there we have The Force Awakens fixed.
I like it.
All right.
I think it works.
It Very works. Good. All right. Going to the next one. The Last Jedi fixed. Here we go. I would change practically this entire goddamn movie. I would never have introduced Rose Tico without giving her a much bigger role outside of fucking up battle strategies and trying to kiss commandos. That was her only role. She screwed up a battle strategy that would have given merit to a character, Finn. Remember that in the Battle of Crait? Yeah. She stops it and she's like, oh, but I love you or whatever, and then kisses him. It was so dumb. I saw the movie once. I fall asleep every time I try and rewatch it. I'm not going to try and rewatch it again. Anyways, no more Holdo maneuver or Cantabite scene. You know, the Holdo maneuver could have just been used 100 times in the trilogies prior and taken care of a ton of situations. It's like Khan from Star Trek having super blood in Star Trek Into Darkness. Just way too convenient. I mean, if you can just light speed through a fucking Star Cruiser or whatever, why weren't they doing that in A New Hope? Why were they even worried about the Death Star? If they could just fucking light speed through it and blow everything up around it, why didn't that? That would have just, there would have been no plot. It was so stupid. You can't just default to that every time a situation happens. So, anyways, I don't feel like I really need to explain why the Cantabite scene should be omitted because it was stupid. Remember that when they go to that, like, planet, the casino planet, and they're like, it was basically a big PETA rally for, like, pets.
Yeah. And they're freeing like, everybody, or freeing all of them, and they're riding them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't even think I need to go into that any farther than to just say, fuck that stuff. So, also, my next point, rather than subvert expectations, which was Rian Johnson's motive, I don't know if you know that or not, Rian Johnson wanted to subvert everybody's expectations at every corner, I would instead give the fans exactly what they wanted in this movie. Because you set it up in The Force Awakens, now it's time to capitalize on what you've already started. So, rather than make a carbon copy of A New Hope, which was clearly the blueprint for the new trilogy starting with The Force Awakens, I would have followed to a T the plots to plot devices in The Empire Strikes Back, because it's the most universally praised of every Star Wars movie ever made. If you're going to copy a movie of Star Wars, which one would you copy? Obviously, the one that made the most money, right? And the one that the fans love the most. So why would they not just, I mean, I'm not saying do it exactly the same way, but if you're going to try and make a carbon copy of a movie, it should definitely be the most popular one, you know? I just feel like that's something I would have done. I don't, you know, I'm not going to go into the specifics because that would take me forever, but I'm just saying that was a thing that came up. No political agendas or innuendos, like obvious PETA support and social justice, you know, white man bad, all that stuff that they put in The Last Jedi, which was basically the whole movie. Next point. Here's a good one. Remember, we can have conjecture at any point. If you have anything, you're like, hey, and you don't agree with it, let me know. But an actual training montage for Rey. She had no training. She had no training. At one point, I would have had Kylo and Rey completely switch sides. Do you remember that awesome part where they like joined? They were like, they teamed up in the end and then they killed Snoke. Do you remember that?
Yep.
You know, but I would have it where they switch sides completely. I'm talking like Rey decides to go to the dark side and then Kylo decides to go to the light side. Just like completely, that would be subverting everybody's expectations. And it would set up Kylo to be the hero of the next movie, with Rey acting as the trilogy's main big bad. Once fully evil, she would join forces with Thrawn, who I mentioned from the last movie, towards the end after that natural disaster got all cleared up, and establishing a new regime. So then the First Order can kind of start, you know, catching speed. And this would have been a really cool twist. Could even show her taking over the Knights of Ren, and then they could have a bigger part to play rather than just fucking standing there and have everybody excited for no reason. You know what I mean? So here we got some cool shit going on. We got,
you know, Disney would never do that because they would lose all the merchandise.
Oh, yeah. I counter that by saying, you know who the most popular Star Wars character is of all time is Darth Vader. And he's totally a bad guy. I think.
Right.
Sith
but
are way
Rey,
cool.
Rey was a beacon of hope for young girls. And to make That's her become true. The bad person would have completely tainted that.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh,
I probably should have stated it.
A massacre.
I probably beginning too that none of this would have gotten greenlit now. If this had happened back in the 90s or like early 2000s, maybe. But because, you know, the women in charge of everything paradigm is so high right now. Which is fine. Women are fantastic. I have nothing against that. But like, because that's so prevalent in the movies and stuff, you know, there's no way this stuff would have happened. So I'm just saying this is what I would have done. And then, so my next point, Captain Phasma, the big, shiny chrome woman, the chrome trooper is what I like to call her. She would not have died meaninglessly. She would have had an all-out battle with Finn in The Last Jedi. Remember when Finn just fucking kills her and it was stupid? At the end of this battle, at the end of the battle with Finn, the stormtroopers would all drop their guns. All of the stormtroopers in this rising order that was currently rising, about to be, you know, going on with Rey and General Admiral Thrawn or whatever, they would have all dropped their guns and followed Finn, and Phasma would have narrowly escaped. Like, oh, like she's going to show up in the next movie and, you know, still have some cool scenes. And then Finn leaves the group at the end of the movie to train the new army of defectors that he just got, because he has to go train them because he's the first defector. And it would have continued his plot of being a defective, not defective, but a defector of the, you know, the first order or whatever the fuck you'd want to call it. So, and then moving on to the final points here. I would give credence to The Last Jedi's title by making the title actually mean something, not just some dumbass kid with a broomstick insinuating some house of mouse. Anyone can be a Jedi if they believe. Come on, Annie, you can be a Jedi. None of that bullshit. Not everyone is force sensitive. That's fucking dumb. You know, obviously not everyone can just use the force if they try. You have to be force sensitive because you have to have like those little whatever they are, the midichlorians, whatever. I would use the title The Last Jedi to show that things aren't always black or white and that there is a middle ground. I would explore the gray Jedi scenario, meaning, you know, you don't fully lean into the dark side. You don't fully lean into the light side. You're somewhere in between. So they'd still have the Jedi Temple fall, because remember how they burned the Jedi Temple and then Yoda comes back and everyone's like, oh my God, Yoda, yay, fan service. And that would be explained in the end that sometimes you need a little good and a little bad to bring balance. Because is that not what balance is? A little of both? I mean, not necessarily a dark side or a light side, but that whoever he or she that can conquer both without going neck deep on either side would potentially be unstoppable. I'd make this the overlying theme of the entire series for the trilogy. The Jedi don't work. The Sith don't work. We've seen both sides fail. Does that make sense? So the gray area would obviously be where they need to capitalize. How do you feel about that?
I think that, sadly, you're right.
Sadly, I'm right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like admitting you're right, but you may be right.
I appreciate that. And so the very last part of this, to fix the movie entirely, I would have some sort of Easter egg involving an obituary for a character named Ryan J, just somewhere in the background, just with an X-Wing flying by, some shit, just like a little, it was a little gravestone. Look, oh, Ryan, egg-headed man lies here, something like that. So, there you go. Last Jedi, fucking fixed. The next one, and honestly, the most important, because this ties all the films together, is The Rise of Skywalker, which I would have completely changed the title to A Saga's End. Okay, this is my first point. Since this is the last movie in the trilogy and the last movie highlighting an era of movies, I would change the title because Rise of Skywalker doesn't make sense. It's the end. I'd go with something like Star Wars Episode 9, A Saga's End. Why would you make Rise? I get that anyone can be a Skywalker. Oh my God, that's the whole thing they were going with. I think that's the dumbest thing ever. No, you gotta, if you're ending a trilogy, end the fucking trilogy. Or, I mean, not the trilogy, the series. So, how do you feel about that? Better title or what?
Maybe too on the nose.
It is a little on the nose. So, you could play with that, but I thought The Rise of Skywalker would have sounded great if it had been the first movie of some kind of movie, but I would never have made it the title of the last one in the entire series. That didn't make sense to me. I don't know. It doesn't sound like an ending title to me. But, you know, everyone has their own opinions. So next, I would not have brought Palpatine back. This completely undoes Anakin's Chosen One arc. Darth Vader threw him down a fucking pit thing. The little, whatever that was, the chute in the Death Star. He gets rid of him. He was the Chosen One from the beginning. It was Darth Vader brings balance to the Force. That, having Palpatine come back completely undoes his entire storyline. So I would absolutely not bring Palpatine back. But here we go. Coming to the next point, I would have also had Thrawn, Rey, and Phasma on the brink of defeating our heroes on the, you know, the ultimate battle happening at the end. But with Finn swooping in with pretty much all the stormtroopers that he went and trained in the last movie, because we hadn't heard of it. So basically, I'm starting this off by like talking about the end of the movie. I don't know what the fuck main plot is. Everything's going on. I'm just talking about how it would be fixed. So in the end, Finn comes swooping in with all the stormtroopers that you're like, oh, fuck, yeah, what about Finn? We all forgot about Finn. Here he is. And swiftly takes down Thrawn and his forces. And then Phasma finally kicks her shiny metal bucket. I mean, helmet. You know. I think that'd be cool as a thing. But then after that happens, after Finn takes them all down and all that, I think an epic battle between Rey and her now Knights of Ren and Ben ensues, with Ben obviously being victorious, but saving Rey's soul in the end. Kind of like at the end of The Rise of Skywalker when it was vice versa, how, you know, Rey saved Kylo's soul and then Kylo died. It would be the complete opposite. She would die at the hand of Ben's former knights in an attempt to save him from being killed by them, mirroring the Luke and Vader fight, with Vader tossing Palpatine down the shaft. And then I also would have zero romance between Rey and Ben, because that just was so forced. There was not a buildup of a relationship between the two.
There was.
The second movie built it up.
The second movie built it up.
I think it's because I mentally block almost everything from that movie. I refuse to see it. But I just, The Force Awakens, they had the Finn-Rey thing. I liked that relationship so much more. I just didn't feel, I don't know. Yeah, so you're right. You're right. They did build it up. So officially, canon-wise, they did have that relationship kind of, you know, venting, you know, kind of stewing and stuff in the background. So whatever. So the next point. During this Rey and Kylo battle, this you're going to get behind. If you're not, then I don't even know who you are. Do you remember BB-9E? He was shown briefly in The Last Jedi, that really cool. He looked exactly like BB-8, but he was like an Imperial BB-8. He was like black. That thing was awesome. I wanted to see a BB-8 and BB-9E super badass droid battle, pulling out all the stops. That would have been so cool. And then BB-8 would obviously be the winner and destroy BB-9E. But you could see more about what he's all about. I wouldn't have introduced that little weird droid that had no... they just added him in because he was cute. The little one, the green one with the little kind of polygon face, the little... You know what I'm talking about? There's another droid they introduced that had like no purpose in Rise of Skywalker, and it was like a little buddy to BB-8. Do you remember that guy?
I've kind of blocked part of that movie out. I only saw it once, and I was not impressed.
I mean, I just watched it like a week ago, and I can't even remember that thing's name. Anyways, I would have completely never introduced him, and I would have brought BB-9E back, who they already introduced, and I would have had that battle. It would have been super cool. Getting back to the Rey-Ben showdown, with evil Rey defeated and Thrawn, the blue guy from the Legends series, that's this background bad guy that was, you know, teaming up with Rey that I've brought up, with evil Rey defeated and Thrawn overthrown, putting a stop to the new regime, I would have Ben, now having tasted the dark side and the light side, because he's been thrust into the dark side as Kylo Ren, but also going back to the light and starting out with the light in the beginning, decide to establish a new order, not the Sith, not the Jedi, but a middle ground between the two, ultimately establishing an actual balance to the Force. This way, every character's action throughout the series, whether it was Darth Maul, someone bad, someone good, everyone had an important role to play and an important impact on the overall theme of the entire saga. I think that would have been fantastic. They finally found the middle ground to close the entire series out. The gray area, which is an actual thing if you look into it. If you go into any research on Star Wars or anything, the gray Jedi are like Jedi that are learning both sides, and they're much more level-headed. So, how do you feel about that?
I don't know.
I got knee-deep in the nerd shit today! Man, I'm sorry. I do apologize. So my very last point of the entire thing of this movie is I would have the gang and the Falcon which is basically Leia, Rey, BB-8, C-3PO, R2, Chewie, Poe piloting, not Rey, because Poe was the new flyer of the Falcon, which makes the most sense, flies towards the classic Tatooine double sunset with Finn and Rey, because like I told you, I'm not a big fan of the Kylo Rey thing. I would have had Finn and Rey alongside them in a revamped Rebel TIE fighter. Like, that's all the TIE fighters were, like, repainted to look like Rebel fighters, you know, for this movie that showed up in the end to save the day. And then I would have that one next to the Falcon with the other Rebel TIE fighter fleet behind them, like a squadron falling in sync behind them. And basically this would signify that Rey and Finn got together and the story arc was set up, and the one that in The Force Awakens that was set up finally paid off. And then the all too familiar circular camera shot pans inward and the theme music starts playing. Mic drop, motherfucker. They're fixed. Bam. All those fucking movies. Fixed. Sorry.
It's all right. Well, if anybody's still listening, we are going ahead and move towards wrapping up the show. Although Jova did give a very, very good, although very in-depth way of fixing the final trilogy. So if you're still listening with us, we appreciate it. And let's go ahead and start wrapping things up.
These are not the responsibilities I was designed for. I thrive on toxic fumes and intestinal discharge.
Oh, don't you worry. Once I finish this bean burrito, you're going to have all the work cut out for you.
And doesn't it feel good to be so productive?
No. What are you shipping in these crates anyway? One growled at me.
You don't want to know.
Hey, keep it up, little buddy.
I hate you both.
Say it ain't so, that's the end of our show. Turn the mic off, go the f*** home.
Jova Fett here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. If you enjoy our ridiculous content, you can get to your nearest cosmic communication device and spread the word to your friends, family, coworkers, or nearby nerve herders. We're available on Spotify, Google Play, Sheeple Music, I mean Apple Music, or wherever you listen. If you have an idea for our show or would like to propose a theme, send an email to closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com. That's closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com, or shoot us a message on Facebook. Have a great day, and we look forward to falling even deeper into the Antimatter Minute with you next time on Close Encounters of the Slurred Kind.
My tattoo run got a big shoe.
He's my tattoo run.
I love these guys, man.